Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, love.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Tame Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toskin, birthday boy himself.
Yo,
Lante.
53, drink!
There you go.
Mitch sent that to me today in a tweet. I was laughing. I came off the, I think I had just doubled a hole and needed a laugh. And I was like, oh, that's a good one. I shot a legit 42 today.
That's
legit.
Really good.
Legit.
That's
and
good.
That was my second round of the year.
Wow.
I played Saturday, and I would have shot, this is for nine holes, I would have shot about a 65. I was so bad. And then today, I don't know, I just kind of relaxed and had a good day.
That's
Andrew and I were out doing it. Did you see Andrew's picture on homecoming?
I did.
The old salmon jacket.
That was a pretty fly look.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking kid. I was like, have some fun, you know, have some fun. Not too, you know what I'm saying? Not too much.
I don't know. He could be a heartbreaker. You don't got to break the hearts, but I think he could warm some for sure.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Cute little smile. So it's time for basketball, though. We got to get some shots up.
And he's got the cool factor, too. You know,
he's got he does.
I wish I had that much confidence and swagger when I was his age.
Ditto.
I was a little more reserved.
For those parents out there, if you want to know that at least one of your children will have that, here's what you do. You have kids 7 years apart, and all Andrew has ever done his entire life is hang out with people that are at minimum 7 years older than him.
Yep.
He's never, you know, like our tailgate crew, there's like six regulars, and Andrew's one of the six. I mean, we rented a bus that had a stripper pole in it. I didn't realize this at the time. And we, 20 of us went down to St. Louis. There were no strippers. 20 of us went down to a Cardinals baseball game. And everybody on the bus was like, you know, we all like literally behind your back, Lon, visited about, should we invite Andrew on this trip? And we're like, yeah. I'm like, that's just where it's at. So there you go. If you want that, just have a kid 7 years apart.
I like it.
So there you go. And he is as frustrated with Illinois football.
Oh, I'm sure. What did you think of the crowd? Number one, first and foremost, we are efforting Luke Altmaier. This segment, every Monday here in the 4 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Docktown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted, Crossroads, Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com and Carpenters Local 243. Hopefully we can get Luke on the phone here soon. But how'd you feel about the vibe? I as well went to the game. I didn't get to get there tailgating. Apparently it takes a while to get a 1.5-year-old to get ready for a ball game. It was cold. That played into it.
It was very cold.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to cross paths with you. But it wasn't a bad crowd. I thought the student section turned out decent. It wasn't full by any means, but I wasn't terribly displeased, but yeah, I did file out definitely by halftime.
Yeah, I'm going full transparency here. I didn't go in the game because mom, as you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
But I did go up and I did tailgate during the day a little bit. And
did you see Phoenix Gill?
No.
Kendall Gill's son, yeah, was in town.
Well, the basketball team didn't set up right there where they always do, but it must be too cold now for them to do that. I don't know. I'm being honest. Yeah. Or maybe it's too late, and now they just got to start thinking basketball. But, no, I did not see Phoenix Gill. So I had to base my thoughts off TV, in other words. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Illinois gave him one more shot. You know, fans,
yeah.
They kind of said, this is your – we talked in the tailgate lot about – if you lose this game, what is the lot going to look like? Because I was really shocked at how many people were out there.
Oh, no. On walking a Friday. Up, there was a – yeah, exactly. On a work day to have shown up, I showed up, 6:30, and there was a good showing out there.
I agree. And kudos to all of, the fans that went out and set up on Friday and were able to do that. But, I don't know. I mean, I that was kind of my thought with – one of the other guys that I visited, I'm like, I feel like today is kind of that day where if you falter here against Nebraska, I think it's going to really – you're going to start seeing it. Now, you do
it's
have –
it's all in on basketball now.
I,
of course, as a basketball guy, I'm going to say that, but still.
I saw on Twitter a couple of things that really – that concerned me, and I get it. I'm not blaming the people that did it, but – I had a few people that would tweet at me and say, I jumped in, I bought all in, I bought season tickets, and probably if there were 10 guys, and when I say guy, it could be girl, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, like let's say if there were 10 of them, 8 of them were like, I have other things to do. I have other things that I would rather be doing. Now, I don't. I mean, I could probably find other things to do, but otherwise I'm a pretty boring guy, I guess. So I enjoy the tailgates. I enjoy being around and seeing all my friends. Not that these people don't either, right. But I get what they're saying. They may rather go to car shows, or they may rather go golf, or, go spend time going to a Cardinals baseball
or
Cubs baseball game. Or go to a movie, yeah. So for me, it's about the tailgating. It's about... Yeah. The fun of going in and getting fired up for a football game. But it really, I mean, you got Wisconsin. You're going to get beat by Maryland. Then you got Wisconsin for homecoming, and you're 2-5. And it's, the homecoming thing doesn't do as much for me because I didn't graduate from Illinois like you and Kyle, we assume, will. Plus, he keeps tweeting out horrific stuff, and they kick him out of college.
I don't know.
But it's one of those where it's like, I don't get fired up because it's homecoming, but it's a 2:30 game against Wisconsin, and I'd like to beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's two games that I will get motivated for the rest of this year, it is Wisconsin and Iowa. Because I don't care if I'm 0-1, whatever, I want to beat those guys. So, I don't know.
What about you, Kyle?
What did you think of?
I also didn't end up going in the game on Friday night,
oh, you didn't.
I have to say. I decided to watch it instead.
You have fun.
Uh-huh.
Instead of have the wind blow in my face. I am very boring, I agree, but
I should have sent you to my mom's house.
Yeah, I could have.
And she could have said, Kyle, now what are you getting ready to tweet? Let me read it over before you hit that send button.
What? I have no idea where you're going with that.
Young man, I don't think your parents would approve of this tweet.
Why are you acting like I tweeted some horrific thing? I don't think I did. I was just angry.
I'm just giving you
It was some angry tweets about the performance.
This comes from this guy.
Lon's making it sound like I should be getting canceled on
Twitter. No, definitely not.
No, dude. Yeah, I'm kidding you 100%.
Yeah, I know.
Think it's because you're so quiet otherwise. And I was like, dang.
You missed the day. I saw Kyle unleash after one of the Cubs losses and that final stretch.
See?
Man, he's got
– okay.
We already
know it in me.
We know he's good on these airwaves. He's very polished. He's very knowledgeable.
Big time.
But when he put some, a little edginess, a little anger in there, I was like, man, this is
– I loved it. I started – I was like, oh, my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle's on fire right now.
Yes.
Let's go.
We needed something to be – happy about, smile yes. at, chuckle at, and that was it.
It's yeah. amazing. I would probably, if you asked me right now, social media, keep it or not, I would get rid of it. I think it is destroying our world. I think there's just so many negative things to it that I can't even begin to, and there's a lot of positive to it as well, but I've always said one of the positives is you can live your misery with other fans immediately.
Yes.
So while you're so mad because Illinois can't punch the ball in from the half-yard line, you can immediately jump on Twitter and see 700 other people that are just as pissed off as you, and in a weird way, it makes you feel better. Because you're like, well, good, I'm not the only person here that's ready to yeah. throw this rock through a TV. I don't know why you'd have a rock in your house. But it's, you know, it's just one
or
of those.
A Fernando Vina bat.
That is good. That was good. I should have had that out.
Should have.
Dang yeah. it.
But, like, I was in the
We didn't need that this year in baseball. No.
In the stadium when there were some calls that, you know, were reviewed yeah. or something, like, the guys behind me are like, let's check Twitter and see what Twitter's saying. The people that are watching at home or Jeremy Warner yep. up in the box, yep. that type of thing. But, yeah, of course, we can all be commenting slash mad slash depressed together on Twitter.
I agree. I mean, you know, if you disagree with a call or – like, what was the game – was that the last road game where I thought there was a safety?
The Purdue game.
Oh, yeah.
Purdue. Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, is that not a safety? I'm like, help me out here. But a lot of people thought 80% said no. Mm. And I just kind of thought that it looked like it could have been a safety. But that's kind of cool. Then I took the idea that 80% of the population decided it wasn't, then I convinced myself there's no need to complain about that or worry about that anymore, Lon. It was obviously not a safety. And that's true.
Yeah.
I'm serious when I say that. In the old days when I didn't have anybody around, I would have gone to bed that night saying, well, we got screwed because there was a safety and they didn't call it. And the next thing you know, we got beat by 30.
I already put the stamp on the letter to the Big Ten.
Yes.
100% of safety.
Yep. Change the world, as my brother used to say. Change the world, Lon. Well, write that letter.
You changed the juju for world.
I did.
You did.
I told him too many reds.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's changed anything, but I at least sent them an I sent them an email and they emailed me back and said, we appreciate you being a consumer and we appreciate your thoughts. We will take that into consideration. Now, you know you've kind of made it in life when...
I would say.
That's got to go, like, in my obituary, right? Lon cared in life to the point where he emailed Juju Fruits.
Product analyst right. for Juju Fruit.
Yeah, Randy, we got blown off by Hans. I mean, quarterback today and Jay.
Wow.
Is bad.
Nobody wants to talk to us.
Actually, Jay did tell me yesterday that he forgot he was out of town because it's Columbus Day and the kids are out
well,
of school.
Well, so did Hans, apparently. Forgot he was out of town.
And Luke took Columbus Day off as well. I did meet his parents.
He's got to change up the vibe somehow. So he might think, you know, ever since I agreed coming on with those guys.
That is a good point.
We've just lost football games.
That's a great point. I met Luke Altmaier's parents. Super nice. Dylan Davis met his mom, and then I visited with Luke and Dylan's girlfriends at our tailgate and had a great time. Wonderful people.
Awesome.
They're all just wonderful people. It was kind of funny, though, because I had a moment where Luke's mom, and I think it was that I got confused of which one was Dylan's mom, because Dylan Davis is from Sarasota, right? And he came on with us that day, he and Kirkland, and I've, you know, I always...
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, Sarasota, Florida. Yep. And so I thought to myself, they were in Florida, you know. So the next thing I know, Luke's mom goes, well, I'm from Mississippi. And I was like, oh, you are? And I kind of was like, oh, you are? And then I was like, wait a minute, Lon, duh. That's where they're from. So it was kind of funny. But, yeah, it was good. It was good to meet all of them. And then, of course, the game wasn't as enjoyable as the tailgate.
Well, Let's talk more about that game. We're going to go to the Chapman's Towing phone line now. Luke Altmyer, Atlanta.
Oh, he's there.
Quarterback. This segment again brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, First Federal Savings Bank, Crossroads Contractor Supply, Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance, and Carpenters Local 243. Luke Altmyer joining us now. How you doing, Luke? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Sorry about calling in late. I was in the film room, skipped my mind, but I appreciate you guys.
You're good. Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He was celebrating my birthday. That's what he was doing, and then he realized,
right.
Oh, wait, it's Lon's birthday. I got to call in, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sorry about Friday. What can you tell us about that one? It kind of was a game that the defense gave you a few chances with some turnovers and such, which has been not something that we normally don't win the turnover battle, essentially, you know, or haven't. So just your overall thoughts on only getting 7, I guess, against the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, I mean, another disappointing week. I guess that's pretty obvious for people to see and for this program to see. Credit to Nebraska, did a great job on defense, doing what they can to limit us from, moving the ball down the field and really just putting together drives. But yeah, I mean, just like I said, just struggled to piece things together consistently, struggled to in different areas. We turned the ball over on downs a few times, and especially on the first drive of the game on the goal line, which was tough. I thought we got in there, and it takes a lot of air out of yourselves, and so to start the game off like that, having a great drive and not being able to finish, about as close as you can get, was tough. And found a little success, there towards the end of the half, and wanted to ride that success in the second half, but just couldn't find our rhythm. Like I said, I had a turnover or two, and it's disappointing, for me and this team, and putting our head down and putting one foot in front of the other, and
sure.
And that's all we can do is just keep going. We know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel of this thing, and we believe every team on the schedule that is ahead of us, we believe we can beat. We firmly believe that, and we're going to put one foot in front of the other, and that's what we're going to do.
Luke, you mentioned that first drive there, and I know on third and goal, it seems to be becoming more and more prevalent, the tush push from Philly or whatever you want to call it. You felt like you got in there. I was in the stadium. I had a buddy who was watching on TV, said, I thought Luke got in. Is that what you're referencing there?
What are you talking about now? The what play?
The third and goal on that first drive. You had the QB sneak on the Philly style QB sneak, and then is that where you felt like you got in?
Yeah. I think Nebraska did. We kind of had a stalemate there, and it was originally I didn't think I got in off the initial push. Mm-hmm. They did a good job of kind of holding us upright, but as I fell to the ground, I felt like I fell in, but it was so much later after, the play was, the play had transpired. So I don't know what how the refs deal with that, but I know initially they did a good job of, not getting us in there initially, but as I fell to the ground, a few seconds after, maybe the refs made a decision, I felt like I was in, but, Nebraska did a good job of, kind of holding us up right there, which is, disappointing. You want to get in there for sure.
What's funny on that, and excuse me, Derek, the only bad about that, what'd you call it, the
tush push,
is you're right in the middle of field. I don't know how the hell officials can even tell if you're in or not. Like, are they just guessing? I'm not blaming them either. That one dude's 20 feet away at least, on the goal line looking down there, more than that even, and he's running in and all their air. You basically have 10 300-pound dudes in a coil, and it's like, wait, let me find the ball. I don't think he got in. I don't know. It's those goal line things are tough, isn't it? It's tough.
Yeah, especially that play with, how many bodies were, some sneaks are, a little less crowded than that, but we had, all of our guys in there, and, they kind of knew it was coming, had their guys in there. So, you know, on the film, you really can't even see me.
I bet.
You know, once the ball snaps. So, I mean, I'm sure those refs had a hard time seeing it. Maybe they see something different from their angle initially and kind of the stalemate that it was. But, I mean, it's incredibly hard to see, I guess, because, you know, we can't even see it on film from every angle that we have. And, I don't know how they make that decision. But, like, once I hit the ground and kind of body started removed from the pile, you know, I felt like I was in. But I don't know how they make that decision. You know what I mean?
Those guys running in also have an average age of 68. But that's just a quick aside from me. If they were 21, on the note of 21, Luke, it's kind of jarring to see a Brett Bielema-led team have 21 yards rushing in a game. What did you see out of Nebraska up front that allowed them to slow you guys down in the run game? It seemed like anytime you go into a game, I know that Brett wants to establish the ground game and get that thing going, but was there anything they were doing with their scheme, or was it just the physical guys they had up front? What made it tough to run on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, they have a very unique scheme, and that's really, really a lot different than what we have seen in the previous weeks and what we will go forward seeing. And very exotic with their fronts, their pressures, their movements up front. So it was hard to get a consistent kind of look and a picture for those guys up front to really establish things. And, you know, Nebraska did a great job with, you know, trying to solidify, you know, stopping our run there. And, you know, that's what they did. And, you know, it's hard for me to kind of pinpoint, you know, kind of what the factor was with that. But the bottom line is, you know, there was moments there for as an offensive unit to execute. And, you know, I think there's just one little thing here and there that each play that, you know, goes wrong that really, really puts us behind the sticks or limits us from having a good gain. And, you know, we had too many of those moments at the end of the day. And, we learn from it, I guess, and grow from it. And, you know, we put our head down and put one foot in front of the other. We keep going. You know, that's all we can do. And, you know, like I said, we know there's a light at the end of the tunnel coming real soon for us. We firmly believe that. And, you know, we're going to go do our best and, you know, put our best foot forward and give it all we have. And you know, believe that, you know, whoever we come up against is going to get our best and, you know, at least my best. And I know this team is, you know, fight, scratch, and claw to get there too.
Luke Altmyer joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. I know you probably spoke to it a little bit there at the end of your last answer, but you've mentioned it. You're disappointed. Fans out there are pretty disappointed. Both the team and the fan base had higher expectations for this season. Not that the season is done by any means, but how are you handling it? How is the locker room handling it by the way that you're able to judge? Just kind of the mood and the overall just morale of this team, one that's not playing up to what you guys feel like are your capabilities.
Yeah, I think there's an obvious feeling of disappointment for this team, but, you know, for me too, being at the kind of centerpiece of all of it, you know, being my first real season, it's definitely been hard for me to navigate and, you know, putting a lot of pressure on me and, you know, seeing my mistakes and how they have affected our success as a team. And it's been difficult to navigate, but, you know, I've gained so much perspective through these weeks that, you know, will only help me in so many areas of my life moving forward on the field, off the field, and things like that. But it's been difficult. It's been difficult for me personally, obviously, like I said, with me being kind of in the center of our offense, of this unit, and, you know, having plays that, you know, our team can't overcome at times. And it's difficult, but, you know, I know I'm getting so much better. And, you know, I'm learning a whole lot. And, you know, that's kind of that's the truth. And, you know, there's nobody who wants to do better more than I do. And, you know, I know I'll get there. I really do. But, you know, as a team, you know, I think we're inspired. We're, like I said, we're fighting, scratching, and clawing every single day to go get that win. And I think all we need is one, and we'll be able to hit a run there. But, you know, I think our leader, Coach B, really, you know, puts us in great positions, you know, mentally, not, I mean, obviously physically, but, mentally, the way he leads us, the way he encourages us, the way he brings so much positivity to our room and our program, and while coaching us, very hardly, and having tough conversations that ultimately will make us better in so many ways. And I think we're just going to keep going. I think spirits are obviously disappointed, but we move forward, and I know those guys are inspired to get back out there and go get that win. I know I am.
Luke, let's move forward now. You've got Maryland on the road, obviously coming up, a team that gave Ohio State all they could handle, obviously a very good quarterback there, and an offense that's solid. I mean, this is a team you're going to almost have to really keep up with, essentially, and that's not a jab on the defense. It's just that's what they do, and a lot of teams fall behind and have to kind of keep up with Maryland. So understanding coming off, the loss to Nebraska, obviously now it just gets tougher with a game not only on the road but against Maryland. What are your thoughts on the Terps and how that will go next weekend?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they're a great team, 5-1, and I've had a lot of success early, and like you said, gave Ohio State their best shot and played really well in that game, and we'll have to play really well and coming up to come out on top. But an athletic group, a group with a lot of speed and well coached, and like you said, has a really good quarterback who has a lot of experience, played a lot of ball, so they'll be really sound. They'll do their thing, and I'm very confident in our group, our defense, and I'm ready to be out there and take my learning from these past 6 weeks and implement that into this Maryland game coming up. But a great group, well coached on defense, do a lot of good things, very athletic, fast, and another just Big Ten opponent on the road. Those games will always be tough, but we're going to go in there and expecting to win. We really believe that, and I think we're excited. We really are.
Luke, last question for you, and probably the most important. Lon said that he was able to meet and have a conversation with your girlfriend in the tailgate lots. How much does that concern you?
Knowing that I'm 53 today.
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, she told me that after the game. I said good things about you guys, and yeah, that was cool.
It was great to meet your parents, by the way, and your girlfriend. It was just, it was super nice people and exactly what I expected coming from them. And I asked him, I'm like, are you sure you like this cold weather? And she's like, her and Dylan's girlfriend were both like, they kind of hesitated. I'm like, well, brace yourself because it's not going to get any better.
Right. From the South, so they'll have to figure it out really quick.
Exactly.
So, but they only had good things to say about you. And they loved it. They really did.
Awesome.
Well, Luke, we obviously wish you the best going into this week, to be able to go into Maryland and have a good performance, bounce back and whatnot. But thanks for always joining us. We appreciate you answering the questions. And I know we have people weighing in here on the U of I Atlantic text line and say that they are pulling for you and rooting for you. So thanks, Luke, as always, and we'll talk next Monday.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys.
Yep. All right, buddy. Thank you, Luke. Luke Altmaier. Again, this segment brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at the State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguide.com and by Carpenters Local 243.
I have one thing on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line, and then I do want to hear from Brett Bielman what he said today, but and it's interesting because I'm not ripping Marty here because I think it's fair exactly what he said. But he says, we lost quality NFL talent more than people realize. Expectations were way too high, in my opinion. If you take just a one-off with this team in general, I would agree. I always expect more, right? So the one-off with just this team, I agree, and that was kind of what I had kind of tried to regurgitate at the start of the show, and the idea that, man, how much of this really... But it just is so frustrating that we can sit there and watch other programs, and i.e. Iowa, Wisconsin, those kind of programs lose the same amount of stuff, and the next year they're coming back with 8 wins. They lose Sam Laporta to the NFL, who's now tearing it up in the NFL.
Man.
And I haven't watched much with Iowa, but I guarantee you there's a tight end that is targeted 15 times. I think, Marty, that's the only thing. Again, if it's a one-off just on this year, I agree. I expected too much, and probably a lot of us did. It's just frustrating that it's always that. Well, we better not expect too much.
Well, and it's who you've played, too. I mean, Kansas, when Lance Leipold took over, you could say Illinois and Kansas probably eye-to-eye, not Kansas having more to make up for. And they're having, obviously, a better year than Illinois. Purdue has gotten smoked by Syracuse. Gave up a billion to Fresno State, lost to Iowa, even though they played a backup quarterback. Go on and on. I mean, FAU was down a quarterback, a couple running backs, and teeth from a receiver. Like, I just it's a bad – that's the other context of this. You not only have a 2-4 record, you have – still, I'll say it until it changes, have underperformed.
Yes.
Contrary to expectation in literally every game you've played.
Yep.
Every single one.
I agree.
So.
And your quarterback, who we just talked to, and he would tell you this, has turned the ball over way too often. He has to get
looks
better.
Looks like a young quarterback.
He does. It has to get better. You cannot continue to just give teams, you know, between the penalties and the turnovers leading into the Nebraska game, it was horrific, and that was.
I fully agree. I just feel like the best opportunity for him to be successful, if you could have a running game.
Yeah.
What helps a young quarterback, inexperienced quarterback, like a good number one, a good running game to hang your hat on, but it opens up play action opportunities.
Huge.
That he's not getting because no one's biting on the fake because Illinois runs the ball for 21 yards against a team like Nebraska. And then also, obviously, you don't have the most dynamic of playmakers outside of Isaiah. Yep. But I feel like if the O-line was giving him more time, if you could run a legit run, play action type of complementary offense, which Wisconsin hasn't had the best of quarterbacks throughout the years, save for Russell Wilson, but they've been able to utilize that. And Brett Bielema knows that very well. I still think that Luke has shown that he's talented. He, yes, needs to learn from his mistakes and get more consistent, and hopefully that's something he can show in the second half of the year.
I would agree.
We're due for a break. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255. Still have Aaron Henry to play. Still have Brett Bielema on the other side. This is The Drive.
Are you tired of getting the short end of the stick and always being stuck with cold water for your showers? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing is here to help. With current tax incentives and rebates, you can save up to $900 on a high-efficiency tankless water heater, unlimited hot water, and saving on your energy bills. It seems like the best gift you could give your home. With the current promotion of 0% financing for qualified applicants, you can't afford not to call. 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Your home's best friend.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 435120.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases.
Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Big Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, get the whole store.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. The Brian Hansen State Farm Agency will make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call me, State Farm Agent Brian Hansen in Champaign-Urbana today. For details, visit brianismyguy.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom into Audubon, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audible, A-U-D-I-B-E-L, for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L. If you want more information about Audible and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L, audibleteam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audible. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to audibleteam.com. That's audibleteam.com.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years' experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. You can call me Sal on the U of I line link text line. Say, hey, Lon, you look better than I did at 53. Maybe I should rethink the whole I don't drink thing. I'd agree with that.
I'm going to tell you right now, it is amazing that I look like I look compared to what I've done to myself in life. So, yeah, I've always said that. Yeah. It's caught up with me, though, the last couple of years, the weight. So I gotta do something about that.
All right, good. You're good.
Gotta do something.
We do want to go back to the Tapman's Towing phone line because we've got Big Def, loyal listener.
Let's go.
He's got some thoughts, Barry Lunny and whatnot. Big Def, how you doing? I know you're out there on the East Coast, thereabouts in Philly area. Thanks for listening, number one. Thanks for joining us, number two.
Hey, thank you so much, Derek. Yeah, it's great to be here, and I know you guys are sick of me texting in for every 2 seconds, so I figured – you could hear my dulcet tones of my voice right now.
Let's do it.
I'm glad there's not a beep that goes off every time Big Dev texts in, because he does fire in a few. Can you imagine? It'd be like,
I do.
Beep, beep.
I try. I'm going to start taping my thumbs up when the show comes on, just to help you guys out.
No, we enjoy every one of them, believe me.
Well, Lon, first off, happy birthday, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Made it another year.
I want to know your entire listening audience blood alcohol level right now. How many times have you said you were 53 today?
You know, I think I've only done it once. Is that right?
More than
okay,
once.
Maybe.
What self-restraint?
Maybe twice. It helps on a Monday.
Yeah, guys. I mean, yeah, we're out here in Philly. We're nervously waiting to hope the Phillies come home with a 2-0 lead over the Braves after tonight. So that's good. I'll keep it short. I know I text a lot, so I'll keep it short. You guys know my thoughts on Barry Lunny, but here's the thing. Here's my big problem. I'm starting to take it easier on Aaron Henry because he's got a whole team of former defensive coordinators on his staff, right, and in his corner. I'm starting to take it easy on him. I still believe in Brett, believe it or not. On the long term, I believe in him wholeheartedly, and I still think he'll get us there. Here's the thing with Barry Lunney, and this is a microcosm of everything I've been saying. So what has Luke trained in? What did Luke Altmyer train in for 3 years under Lane Kiffin before coming to Illinois? An RPO-heavy scheme, right? That's what he did for 3 years as a backup, getting his few starts. It was a run-heavy RPO. That's basically what they did. So he comes to Illinois. We have a pass pro problem on our line. That's the biggest problem. They run block. They don't run block great either, but they do it better than they pass block. And so what mitigates that, where you can still pass from a run blocking set? RPO. So, and then, all right, so our skill players, our O-line's tough, our running backs aren't as explosive as we thought they'd be, but our skill players, you can trust to go out and get a catch, like two or three of them, right? Then the others can't get separation. So you delay the defense on diagnosing run and pass to give them a step for the guys who can't get separation, and the other guys just like fly way open. What does that? RPO. What did Jay Layman and all of us talk about that Barry Lunney really hasn't run all year?
Nope.
Aside from that wonderful opening script that got us to the goal line a couple days ago that Brett literally went in and asked for, RPO.
Yep.
So basically, I know we talk about Barry Lunney's play calling, individual play calling, but the fate of this offense was decided by Barry Lunney before the first play was ever called. And that's my biggest problem with him, is that the philosophy did not match the strengths and weaknesses he had on his team. So was that brief? Was that short? How do you feel?
That was a great point. That's a great point and a great call, Big Def. That is well said, my friend.
Big Def, in your opinion, before I'll throw this back to you one more time, like, yeah, is that something you can implement mid-season, in your opinion? Could he pivot?
100%. 100. There is not a single – he has everything in his playbook. That's the thing. Everything in his playbook. He can just dial up a lot of the plays and formations he had last year. He just – every formation he's run, he has some RPO plays lined up in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, it's something. Yes, there's a little bit of install. It's there's a little bit of that, but you did a lot of that last year, and you know, you have that in almost every formation of your playbook, and you can find that everywhere. So, yeah, I truly believe they can turn on a dime. I think the schematic path is there. I just don't think it's going to be. I hope it is. I don't think it's going to be taken, but it's there. It's the fixes are there. So that is one thing. That is the one thing I agree with Barry Lunney about, is that yes, the fixes are there and they're ready.
Big Def, we appreciate your loyal listening, your loyal texting, and the call today. Go Phillies tonight, my man.
Thank you so much. Go Phils. Have a good night, guys.
All right, buddy.
You too.
Thanks for the birthday wish. That's awesome.
There you go, Big Def.
Listen, I love that point of view. I love that. And we can ask Jay tomorrow.
We should.
That'd be a great question to ask Jay.
We will.
Tomorrow.
We will. Let's catch a quick break. We'll come back, play Coach Bielema when we return.
Go.
This is The Drive.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling. All the sounds of the workplace are music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects, large and small, as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
Reach your savings goals. Busey Bank CD Specials can help. Watch your money grow with competitive rates and offers. Visit busey.com/CD rates, visit your local service center, or call 1-800-67-BUSEY today. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love.
And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
Make a difference in your community and start a rewarding career when you join RPC's Early Childhood Education Team. The Regional Planning Commission will be interviewing for open positions within the program at a hiring event on Wednesday, October 11th at the Early Childhood Education Center, 103 South Country Fair Drive. Attendees are encouraged to bring resumes and references. Don't miss this hiring event for the Early Childhood Education Program with the Regional Planning Commission. It's October 11th from 9 to noon at 103 South Country Fair Drive in Champaign.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men
and a Truck. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper, weekdays 4 to 6, right here on ESPN Radio 93.5. Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. About 10 minutes left in the show. Got to get you some Brett Bielema from today. He spoke with the media over there at Memorial Stadium. Here is your Atlanta head coach, Brett Bielema.
Enough negatives that created us to lose a game, that I think, you know, things could have bounced our way a little bit. We'd like to have them come forward, but we didn't come out in a positive light. I thought we did make strides. We dramatically reduced the number of penalties. Really have made a conscientious effort to stop eliminating things that have caused us to have failure, and that was a big one. I think also defensively to have our guys go out there so many times in a row. I think it was five different series where they were given the ball, not just the series itself, but how they took over. One was after a fumbled kickoff, one was after a blocked punt, one was after a fumbled completion on third down. They just kept going out there, sawing wood, and taking care of business. So hopefully that's a sign of more things good to come in that regard. I know they've worked really hard to get to where they are. Offensively, I think the opening drive was what we kind of practiced all week, and then have that fail with being just short of the goal line, taking over the ball on a 25-yard line, moving it all the way down to 6-inch line, just set us back. I think we had 6-3 and outs, and it was hard to find some rhythm. Obviously, right before the half, we did get a little bit of a couple plays there to get on the board, and then just couldn't sustain it, especially with some turnovers that we gave. That the defense gave them an opportunity to capitalize on. We couldn't do it. So that was the tail in the game. I think where we're at right now, we just got to continue to try to find and discover and find new ways to move the ball, score points, and on defense, continue to build our depth, especially the guys getting a little. This is a big week for us just because it's week 7 of our preparation, right? And to have 6 games behind us, it's important for our guys to stay fresh and be ready to play. We got this, and obviously the Wisconsin game before we get a bye week, so this is the longest stretch of the season for our guys. Physically, we got to be very cognizant of that. I literally go through and on Sundays kind of go back to my last 2 years here and look at this week in particular to see how we, not only what we do from a practice standpoint, but what we do from meetings, scheduling, things we may back off of, we might move forward with, and kind of playing that into this week's schedule as well. So we'll make some adjustments and tweaks to our schedule. I think our guys felt it. Yesterday, they'll feel it tomorrow when we come over and practice, and we'll go from there. With that, open up for questions.
Right on Saturday or Friday, you said offensive line depth was a concern going into training camp. When did that become a concern, and why?
Uh, I don't know if it was going to the training camp. I think when we became depleted, we lost Zai. You know, for us, Des Schuster was a guy that we were planning on, even though it wasn't. We've had guys of his caliber come in and play. I think those two things in particular, we were really short at tackle. We had, obviously, Julian coming back. We were going to move Zai out to tackle, which was an unproven commodity, and then he wasn't even in the lineup through all fall camp. If I said fall, I didn't mean fall, but I meant going into the season.
Gotcha.
You know, I think last spring when we recruited, we had two guys that were committed to us. They're plug and play guys. They're now playing at other schools that were committed to us. We lost that through the beautiful world we're all experiencing right now in recruiting. One of the things I do monitor is guys that, you know, that we had in our program that weren't able to follow through. So that's a little bit of that. But I think we were looking for answers, and then when we didn't get those answers had to come from within. We just don't have enough depth.
Realistically, could be in sort of or with Dez for a timeline, just given he's not practicing.
Yeah, you know, Dez is a big dude, and because of what he's been suffering from, we haven't been able to do conditioning. So I think the big part of him is just going to be A, knowing the playbook, but also getting his body at a physical level to play. I don't think it would be this week. I don't know if it could be next week, but hopefully maybe on the back end of the bye week, you could probably hopefully look at something there.
Coach, when you're struggling like you have this year, do you worry about guys pointing fingers, doing all that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've literally had dinner last night. I brought my alumni council and captains in to our staff room. We always have dinner in the building on Sunday, so we basically meet offense, defense, special teams, and then we usually take a dinner break and kind of take an hour to kind of just take a moment. We have football games going, guys eat in the building. We wanted to eat together. We call it family dinner after victory. We have it a victory meal, but that's not near as nice when we don't win. It's a lesser meal, but the brotherhood is there. So I brought in our Illini Council and our captains, so it's about 15 guys. We kind of shot the breeze for a little bit. Then I kind of get in the meat and potatoes of anything from A to Z. I always say it's from the time you come in the parking lot till the time you leave, anything structurally, schematically, timing-wise that we can talk through. And there were some good suggestions, but one of the things that has been very strong in that conversation, but also several individual conversations, is, Coach, from where we were when you got here to where we are now, just like the amount of that goes on, I think, is at a minimum. I don't really see. There's guys that are frustrated. We're all frustrated. Sure, yeah. I thought Dylan Rosiak had a great quote about the pissed off feeling, right? Like that's him to a T, and that's a guy that is just continuing to build rapport in our building. I thought Casey had some really good comments after the game about focusing on the task at hand and focusing on himself. Isaiah Adams, I know, said some things in the locker room right after the game. Just the character we build upon is really, really strong. I'm not a overly, you know, share from the outside world, but I think the faith in our guys and in each other and our coaches is pretty strong, and I don't see that wavering.
Coach, when the season's kind of not going the way that you thought it would go, is there a feeling as a head coach that you want to take more control over game planning and play calling on game day, or is it you still lean pretty hard on the coordinators?
You know, I don't, you know, you can ask my coaches, but I've never called a game when we were. You know, at this time, a year ago, we were obviously 5-1. A year before that, we were 2-4. We're 2-4 once again. Obviously, I don't want to be where we're at, but it is what it is. And I would tell you that in all three seasons, my demeanor and my approach to how we game plan and what we do hasn't changed at all. I think offensively, defensively, there might be certain things each week that I feel like, hey, I really need to talk to them about this. I think in this case, Maryland, it's a dramatically different offense than what we just faced, right? So to have the game plans be in the same realm isn't really real. On defense, on the flip side, offensively, you know, this is a group that has some carryover. And then, you know, even though we didn't play him a year ago, the coordinator that's there now, he's been there the entire time with Locke. So there's a lot of carryover defensively since Mike's been there over the last 4 years. So I don't think so. I think the urge would be there, but again, this is my 15th year as a head coach. You hire good coaches to be good coaches, and that's what you got to do.
You mentioned after the game, maybe examining changes. Mm-hmm. What's come of that in terms of those conversations with the offense?
Yeah, I would think, you know, after any game, win or loss, you're going to have changes. You're going to have, but I think for us particular on Saturday after we got done watching the film, Aaron, and he's going to share it with you, Aaron actually left our building, I think, at 2 a.m. Saturday night, drove to Indy, flew home, buried his grandfather, came back late that night, so he was gone all Saturday. So, like, I didn't have much. I had interaction with the defense staff. We talked, but it was really got done with it. We met as a staff, and then I sat down with the offense and looked at the game. And I'd say three areas we looked at were schematics, personnel, and then also, obviously, in-game adjustments. That was our big three. And I think that's the same that you go through on a weekly basis because we're at a 2-4 team, and we've struggled to put points on the board. It draws a little more attention. But I think we really got to, through six games, I think we know who our strengths are, but we also know probably what our weaknesses are. I think we got to do our best to maximize those strengths, minimize those weaknesses.